Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again so much for taking time out of your busy life and joining me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, July 18th, 2022. Well, the world is watching as our President Joe Biden is making his travels into the Middle East. Recently, he was just in Israel and in Saudi Arabia, which is the topic of today's program. The importance of a president visiting a country like Saudi Arabia cannot be overstated. Of course, our president there is there to beg for oil when he could be releasing the ability for us to produce our own oil and be energy independent as we were under Donald Trump. But of course, he can't do that because he's beholden to all of the environmentalist wackos who won't do the courtesy of allowing us to drill in key places so that we can be oil-rich and independent again. And President Biden has said again and again on the campaign trail that he is doing away with fossil fuel. And so everyone has to buy an electric car eventually. Imagine that, how much money that would cost the average middle-class person. And on top of it, these cars are having all kinds of problems. So we are in a situation where our president is doing what he should not have to be doing, and that is begging the Saudis for an increase in oil so that we can somehow find our way out of the pain at the pump. Now, the prices have been coming down ever so gradually, but they still are so very high. And as I mentioned, I cannot overstate enough how important the president is going to a country like Saudi Arabia that oppresses women in such a volatile way. Now, of course, in the last several years, there have been some reforms. Saudi women can now drive. And apparently, there has been a lessening over the restrictions on the male guardianship law that women can travel abroad without permission from their husbands. But let me just say this again, and I've said it many times before. Beware of these reforms. It's not that the Saudis in their Islamic worldview really care about women. They are second-class citizens. They're doing it for economic reasons, that is, giving them permission to drive automobiles. That enriches them, once again, in their pockets, the purchase of fuel. And it's also a PR stunt to try to say to the world, look at us, how much we care for our women. Iran does this, the same thing, too. So be careful of these reforms, because the very activists that have stood up against these reforms, I mean, that have stood up against these laws, like an improvement in the male guardianship law and the ability to drive, that is, women given permission to drive, most of them are still in prison. So if this is a true reform, an amendment to the male guardianship law, why are these activists still in prison? It really begs the question, and that's why I say be very careful of these so-called reforms. You would think that our president might speak up and say to the Saudi government, give women their freedom, give women back their rights, but of course he's not going to do that, so this is my job. So on the program this morning, I'm going to be their voice. And I wrote in a book about 4 years ago about this issue. The name of the book is Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes, the story of women being empowered, even to pastor churches. I talked about the male guardianship law in Saudi Arabia, and I want to emphasize again that this is still a very prevalent oppressive law that has not been overturned. So let's take a look at this law, and let's discuss it, and let's be a voice this morning for Saudi women. It was back on June the 24th, 2018, that the world witnessed an historic milestone take place in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. After decades of protests, the driving ban against women was finally lifted, and for the first time, women could legally be issued driver's licenses and could sit proudly behind the wheel of a car without going to jail again. Well, you know how many decades women had stood up against this ban. You can see them on YouTube being filmed driving cars, and a lot of them were arrested. Well, according to the Saudi prince, that has all changed. Now, while that is a historic accomplishment in a nation that is hostile to the rights of women, still, it is a very long road ahead for women to finally experience true freedom in Saudi Arabia. Most every Saudi woman will tell you that under the male guardianship law, until that is finally repealed, they will still be under the domination of a man. But now, wait a minute. Before we begin explaining the various restrictions on women because of this male guardianship law, I want to educate us a little about the history of Saudi Arabia and a form of Islam known as Wahhabism. You may not have heard that term before. Let me explain. Wahhabism was born through a radical 18th century Muslim reform movement. The purification of Islam took place through the efforts of Muhammad ibn Wahhabind and was formally adopted by the Saudi family way back in 1744. Members of Wahhabism called themselves Unitarians, with a strong emphasis on the absolute oneness of God, which is a term you see in Sunni Islam called Tawhid. They reject the practice of visiting tombs, venerating saints, and they're advocating for a return to the original teachings of Islam incorporated in both the Quran and the Hadith being the sayings of Muhammad. They also stress a literal belief in the Quran, that's literal, and an establishment of a Muslim state based solely on Sharia law. So they're going all the way or nothing at all. This was the reason why there was a reform movement way back when. The Wahhabis occupied Mecca and Medina at the end of the 18th century, bringing everything under their control. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia was created in 1932, assuring the religious and political dominance of Wahhabism. Many of the sites associated with the early form of Islam, that is, homes, graves, or companions of Muhammad, were demolished. And they did this in order to purify the holy religion. They wanted no dedication to these relics or locations. It reminds me a lot of Roman Catholicism, what the reformers did. They got rid of all of these superstitious teachings to purify, to have a true Christianity. Now, both Britain and the United States subsidized Saudi Arabia in 1945. That was right after World War II, and enabled them to join the United Nations. Now, that's a little background so you understand that this is a very strict reform movement. Now, while the driving ban was lifted back in 2018, and that was more than likely for economic reasons rather than really for women's rights, there is still a great chasm for females to cross until they've obtained equal rights. The rules for the male guardianship law still prohibit so much of women's freedoms, despite a few glimpses of hope on the horizon, which I'll explain in a few minutes. Now, back in 2015, women were able to cast ballots for the first time during municipal elections, but couldn't speak to male voters or couldn't have men and women mixing in their campaign offices. Still a segregation. The late King Abdullah issued a decree in 2011 that gave women the vote, and 2 years later, percent of seats in consultative council to be set aside for women. So you see these gradual little glimpses of what some would call reform. Now, in 2015, this is just a few years ago, there were more Saudi women studying in universities than men. And a few years earlier, back in 2012, Saudi Arabia sent two women to the Olympics. Again, there are some indicators of progress. But let's emphasize some things that Saudi women still cannot do because of the male guardianship law. Saudi women can't divorce, get a job, or have surgery first without permission from their male guardians. Saudi women cannot freely mix with members of the opposite sex. In 2013, authorities ordered shops that employ both men and women to build what's called separation walls to prevent sexes from commingling. Now, that's still enforced in Saudi Arabia. Saudi women cannot appear in public without wearing a full-length black abaya. You see this all the time, which is supposed to protect a woman's modesty in public. These long, tent-like dresses. Saudi women cannot conduct certain businesses yet without a male sponsor. If a woman wants to own her own business, she has to call at least two men who can testify of her character in order to have a loan approval or license. Saudi women cannot apply for a national identification card or passport. Now, supposedly, this law has been amended. We'll discuss that later. But yet, Saudi women cannot eat at restaurants that doesn't have a separated designated family section. Again, segregation. Women are also required to use a separate entrance from the men. Saudi women cannot retain custody of their children in a divorce. And yet, under Quranic law, under Islamic law, Saudi women cannot get a fair hearing in court. Surah chapter 2, verse 282, the Quran teaches that their testimony is only worth half that of a man's. This is law. And finally, Saudi women cannot receive an equal inheritance. So there are still long pathways to go in order for women to have full rights. It was back in April of 2017 that the United Nations elected officials from Saudi Arabia to sit on a commission for women's rights. This is insulting to the women of Saudi Arabia who are constantly living under the oppressive dictatorship of men. It is absurd that a group of men sit on a panel that supposedly promotes women's rights, shaping global standards on gender equality and empowerment of women. Now, UN Watch Director Hilal Nuer rightly points out, quote, every Saudi woman must have a male guardian who makes all critical decisions on her behalf, controlling a woman's life from birth to death. Electing Saudi Arabia to protect women's rights is like electing an arsonist to become the town fire chief. Now, this panel supposedly ended their term last April, but the point is the United Nations continues to embarrass all of us in these decisions. Now, apparently, it was only last year that there was an amendment to the male guardianship law that women can now travel without permission. Beware of these certain reforms. They are PR campaigns. And remember, Saudi women have such a long, long way to go to achieve human rights. I want to take a few minutes now to focus in on a world figure, someone you heard a lot about 3 years ago. Her name is Rahaf Mohammed, and she decided one day to expressly escape from the oppressive society against women. And she was on a vacation with her parents, and she escaped and was granted asylum in Canada. And since then has become a citizen and has escaped the Saudi oppression of women. Her story is a pretty incredible story. And it was just recently, just a few months ago, that they put together a package to highlight this story from 2019. I want you to hear Rahaf Mohammed's story of escaping from Saudi Arabia to freedom in Canada. Let's listen.
Technically, she's a free woman, but Rahaf Mohammed still hasn't escaped her demons. It's easy for the memories to come flooding back.
So I'm getting emotional a little bit.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm good.
It still hurts, hey?
Yeah. Like, I'm so angry.
Rahaf was only 18 when she risked her life for freedom. She was on a family vacation in Kuwait when she absconded in the dead of night, hoping to get to Australia. She'd planned her escape for months and had a valid tourist visa, but when she arrived in Thailand, Saudi agents were waiting. She pleaded with airport officials not to send her home.
I can go back.
You can go back. You just have to buy the Kuwait Airlines back.
Rahaf believes her family would have alerted officials as soon as they realized she was gone. They seized her passport and forced her to stay at the airport hotel.
I can't do anything because they have my passport, and tomorrow they will force me to go back to Kuwait. And I'm here. Please help me, they will kill me.
Her supposed crime? Renouncing Islam and traveling without the consent of her father.
I'm not leaving my room until I see UNHCR. I want asylum.
Rahaf's father and brother flew into Bangkok to take her home. She refused to see them. In the past, they'd badly beaten her for breaking rules. While Saudi laws are gradually changing, traditionally, men have control over the women in their lives, and leaving without approval can result in death.
Women are treated like slaves, less than men. They need permission to work. They need permission to go to school, to wear what they want, to marry who they want. They need permission for everything.
And when you turn to your mom, what would she say to you?
My mom disappointed me. She thought that I didn't have the right to live the life that I want, and women were just less than men. And she was happy about it.
Rahaf had no one and nowhere to hide, but she did have her phone. You turned to Twitter in your hour of need.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why you did that.
I just didn't want the world to forget me and forget who I was and what I wanted to do. And I just didn't want to be another victim.
Rahaf's plea for help caught the attention of Australian journalist Sophie McNeil, who flew to Bangkok to cover Rahaf's story.
When was the last time you slept?
2 years ago.
How long are you planning on staying in the room?
I don't know. As I can.
She helped me a lot. She shared my story. She checked my visa. She made sure that I was okay. She fought for my life and my freedom.
Australia has been caught up in a dramatic diplomatic standoff involving a teenage Saudi girl. She's demanding asylum here.
While Australian authorities stalled, Canada acted quickly and granted Rahaf asylum.
It felt like a bird left the cage. You know, when I was back in Saudi Arabia, I knew that I wasn't allowed to live the life I wanted. And landing in Toronto, Canada,
it just makes you emotional?
Happy and sad at the same time.
There must be times when you feel quite torn, because once you arrived in Canada, you changed your last name. Your family have now disowned you. Do you miss them at all?
I miss a lot of things about my old life. I had friends, I had sisters, but I had to leave.
How much do you worry about your sisters back in Saudi Arabia?
A lot. I think about my sisters a lot and how my family treats them now.
Would you ever be able to return to the kingdom to visit them?
I can't imagine now. Even if I want to, I just can't.
What would happen if you did return, do you think?
Get killed, 100%.
The threat of death is not new to Rahaf. She's bisexual, which is illegal in Saudi Arabia.
I had to hide who I was. I had to lie. I had to pretend that I was the girl that you want me to be, just to survive.
And yet you continued to date women growing up. How difficult was that?
It was very difficult. I had a long-term relationship with a girl, and nobody knew about the girl.
What do you think your father or your brothers would have done if they had found out that you were dating a woman?
Two options: to kill me or to force me to marry someone.
To this day, Rahaf still receives death threats from strangers. Some have even offered her friends money in exchange for Rahaf's address.
Just one example. You deserve death and I will be the one who sends you to Allah. How do you cope when you receive threats like that?
I believe that they really mean it, because a lot of people would kill for God or the culture. It scares me a lot.
Rahaf is now 22, a proud atheist and a single mother. She still feels like she isn't entirely safe in Canada, but says she loves to taunt the men who threaten her online.
I just love pissing them off because they're unhappy to see me living the life that I want. I'm not living in the box anymore.
You can wear whatever you want now. Do you feel the need to promote that on social media almost as a way to get at your haters?
Yeah, because I'm a female. I want to enjoy, you know, myself, show some skin or whatever. It's a freedom.
Rahaf plans to study acting, but for now she's focused on her YouTube channel.
Hello everyone, this is Rahaf Mohammed.
She's also released a book aptly titled Rebel.
How do you think your family would react if they read the book?
Very bad. Very bad. Because I talked about everything.
Rahaf hopes if her family bothered to read the book, they may understand her better. But her main target is oppressed women from around the world.
Some of them feel helpless and hopeless. They have to convince themselves that this is normal. And I have to accept the reality. You deserve the freedom that you want. You deserve the life that you want. And fight for it.
Wow. Rebel by Rahaf Mohammed can now be purchased online and in all major bookstores.
Well, I rejoice in Rahaf's freedom and the fact that she was able to escape a very oppressive society like it is in Saudi Arabia against women. And that freedom came with a heavy price, of course. She's disowned from her family. They would kill her if she returned. And she receives death threats all the time. Now, let me make a couple of observations from a Christian point of view. Of course, I don't agree with her bisexual status at all. God didn't design us for relationships in that way with other women or other men. That's against scripture. And I do pray for Rahab's salvation. But again, I want to say I'm very grateful that God did open a door for this young girl to escape. She's able to now live freely, if you know what I mean. And she's written a book, and she wants to empower and help other women. All of that is very positive. All of that is very good. It was actually 5 years ago that I met someone online, or someone actually contacted me. Her name was Amna Aljawed. And she basically wanted me to help her because she was just like Rahab, but yet she was still in Saudi Arabia. She hadn't escaped out of the country and was able to, you know, apply for asylum. And so I was her voice. I would contact her. I would do programs about freedom for Saudi women. I would pray with Amna. And it was right in the middle of when I was writing this book, Broken Yet Beautiful, that she was caught by her father and put in prison. The reason that she escaped from home was that she was forced into a marriage with her cousin. It was a forced marriage, and he was abusing her all the time. So she escaped and was hiding out. And it's illegal for a young girl to leave home without their parents' permission. And once she was caught, she was put in prison. And I became very busy and active petitioning and getting signatures and sending it to the UN for her freedom from prison, and would pray and would talk about her case online for months. And then during the publication of my Broken Yet Beautiful, which was dedicated to Amna, I got the good news that she was released from prison. Now, I haven't heard from her in 4 years, but I pray for Amna all the time. She wasn't able to escape like Rahab, but she did manage to be granted freedom from prison. I just hope and pray everything works out for my friend Amna. But this whole subject of freedom and the celebration for Rahab's freedom from Saudi Arabia brings up a very important subject that I want to share with you this morning. I cannot overstate how important this subject is. I wrote a blog in my book, Shout Freedom, entitled Freedom Without Jesus is Just Another Wall. The subject of freedom is so important, so I want to share with you how this relates to Saudi women, Rahab, and Amna this morning. I want you to listen carefully because this has so much bearing on this whole concept of freedom. It was back on June the 12th, 1987, that President Ronald Reagan gave a powerful and memorable challenge to the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev as he proudly stood in front of the Berlin Wall to a cheering crowd. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. 2 years later, on November 9th, 1989, President Reagan's challenge became a reality. The concrete barrier of the Cold War that had separated communist East Berlin from the West collapsed as thousands of people in mass droves crossed to the other side in jubilant celebration. Communism had finally collapsed and freedom had arrived. There would no longer be a death strip between the East and the West. No more machine guns, no more guard dogs, although it would take at least another 2 full years before the complete physical demolition of the wall complete. The celebration had begun. The death of communism was now a reality. Freedom. This powerful seven-letter word has been the passionate driving force in the hearts of humanity for thousands of years and has caused the death of millions of people fleeing oppression. This seven-letter word is one of the most precious words in the English language, one of the most powerful words on the lips of those giving their lives to be free from dictatorship governments. Christian artist Wayne Watson, reflecting on the historical fall of the Berlin Wall, composed a thought-provoking song on the subject of freedom, and that really causes us to think deeply about what true freedom, what true liberty really is. The chorus of the song gets right to the point about what Wayne truly believes true freedom is. Quote, freedom. People cry for freedom, but freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Oh, freedom. Give the people freedom, but give the people Jesus, or they got nothing at all. Wow. Wayne is challenging us to think about what true freedom really is. Millions of people celebrated the destruction of a physical wall that tore down the barriers of an oppressive political philosophy that had kept them in bondage for many years. Humanity was no longer bound by the chains of a dictatorship that enslaved them to a government that ruled their lives from the cradle to the grave. Now people were finally free to believe and think for themselves. Surely, that is what freedom is all about, right? Well, 2,000 years before the historic collapse of the Berlin Wall, another powerful and life-changing speech was given to a mass of people. Jesus stood before his disciples and a crowd of religious leaders and made an astounding proclamation. He declared, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus also taught about freedom and the impact it would have on our lives. However, and here's the catch, we need to look closely at the kind of freedom that Jesus was speaking about. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, quote, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said in protest. "We have never been slaves of anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Notice carefully the reaction of the religious leaders. In Jewish heritage, being a part of the great patriarchal family of Abraham conferred a special status on the individual. The religious leaders were astonished at what Jesus had just told them. Being in the family of Abraham gave them great dignity and value. How can Jesus dare to question that heritage? They believed they were truly free. There was no corruption and bondage to break free from. However, Jesus points directly at the heart of their problem, at the heart of our problem. Slavery to sin. The Pharisees and the scribes looked pure and clean on the outside. They loved to boast about their own righteousness and spirituality. In their eyes, they were perfectly obedient to God's law, and they constantly looked down on the other masses of people. The outward image of true freedom can be very deceptive. The image of freedom was celebrated on a fall day in November when the Berlin Wall collapsed. But as Wayne Watson aptly points out in his song, quote, "Freedom without Jesus is just another wall." The physical wall had been demolished. We all saw that. But there is another wall, the wall within our souls, that is still holding us, humanity, in bondage. That bondage is the death grip of sin. The human heart is in the death grip of sin until it's set free and the chains are broken by the power of Christ. Physical freedom is not enough. Humanity can celebrate freedom from oppressive governments, but when they fall, freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Jesus offers us a freedom that no government of the world ever give us. It is a freedom that breaks the power and corruption of sin in our hearts. It is a freedom that our eyes are opened, and it helps us to have a living and vibrant relationship with the God of the universe. It is a freedom that allows us to dream big and experience a true joy in our life beyond anything we can imagine or think. As a Christian author and a human rights activist for Iranians and women in Saudi Arabia, I have a passion to be their voice for freedom. It is my pleasure to fight for their human rights, books to bring awareness to the world about their plight for freedom and justice. However, I have a very important responsibility to make sure that I also persuade them of a freedom that transcends the oppression of physical governments. The gospel is the true freedom that every Iranian and Saudi Arabian woman and man needs. It is the power of the gospel that breaks the chains of sin and liberates us from the inward corruption that is keeping us in bondage. I will never stop being their voice. I will always email government leaders and be a voice for political prisoners on death row demanding their freedom. All this is good and absolutely necessary, but I must balance out my passion with the truth of God's word. Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is the true freedom that humanity needs. We can never be truly free until the walls of sin are torn down in our hearts. With that in mind, I want you to hear this incredible song by Wayne Watson that inspired this blog that I wrote. A very thought-provoking song that is the subject of my blog and Bible teaching this morning, Freedom by Wayne Watson. Again, this is my commitment to my Iranian friends and my friends in Saudi Arabia. I will be your voice for freedom. I will stand up. I will email. I will make my voice known so that you can be free from oppression. But I have a responsibility. I'm also praying that you come to know Christ to find the true liberation that all of us have needed. The freedom from the bondage of sin. This is the ultimate freedom. And in that freedom we have from Christ, we can dream big. We can see our lives be blossomed into great examples of his grace. So again, this is the true freedom that everyone needs. And it is my passion. And I say this to not be misunderstood. It is my passion to speak up for the oppression against my Iranian friends. But I have a responsibility. Jesus says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus wants us to know truth, but Jesus wants us to know the truth of our sinful condition and the truth that he will set us free from the deception and the power of corruption and sin that keeps us in bondage. We can celebrate true freedom from a dictatorship government. We can become citizens of the greatest country in the world here in the United States or Canada or other places where there's true freedom. But until we experience the cross, and until we experience the gospel, we're truly not free. I would just ask this morning that you would join me in praying for Rahaf Muhammad, that she would experience this true freedom that Wayne Watson was singing about, and this is what I teach, that she would come to know the ultimate reason for her existence. Again, I want to thank you for joining me this morning on the Cross in the Desert. Have an incredible week, and I will see you again on Thursday. Stay safe and enjoy life. God bless you. Thank you.